you're so ungrateful. Today on Life Talks,
I hate you.
We're going to be talking about ingratitude.
I wish anybody else could. I could do this podcast with you.
I know. I always have these random thoughts, questions. I just had another one.
Okay.
What's your ice cream of choice?
Mm. I'm not a big ice cream eater. I'm serious. If I were going to eat any kind of ice cream, it would probably be something with peanut butter and chocolate in it.
Yes.
But here's what I do love, and this is my kryptonite.
Yeah,
Gelato.
And really?
Dude, you're getting ready to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Just gelato yourself through the country. I'm serious, man. And
so I don't understand how you like gelato but not ice cream.
It's smoother. It's
creamier,
like,
right?
It's like a cross between ice cream and sherbet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. And get the lemon or the chocolate raspberry.
or the
when I first went to Hungary back in the 90s, right after communism fell, you could get a big old gelato cone for like a nickel.
Oh my god.
And I must have gained 30 pounds in 2 days. I'm like scarfing them down. I didn't eat anything.
Dan lived off of gelato for a week. Oh my goodness.
What about you?
My ice cream. So I used to be, I know this sounds really weird. I used to just be a huge vanilla guy.
Oh, that's so shocking.
Of course.
You're the whitest dude I know.
Look in the mirror, Dan. Okay.
Are you pro topping or anti topping?
But I like certain toppings.
Okay.
Like, but now I would say I would go through seasons where it's like moose tracks or something like that. Yeah. I love pistachio ice cream.
Oh gosh! Now I wish our podcast with someone else.
I don't think I've ever had it.
Really?
I love pistachios. Does it have nuts in the ice cream?
It has nuts in them, but here's the thing:
chunky nuts.
Yeah, but it's the bluebell. You got to get the bluebell. But here's the thing: nuts that are in them are. What are you talking about, Mr. Gelato from Europe? I mean, you just called me a snob, and you're talking about gelato from Europe.
I get the $3 for $5.
Okay,
Harris.
What
Teeter
were we talking about 2 episodes ago?
Seriously,
what was it?
Money? How does it go? How are you see money?
I just the bluebell has. I don't think it's. I think it's almonds or walnuts are in it, but it's not. But here's the other thing.
Ruining dessert like that.
I have not had ice cream in probably.
Yeah, Mr. Lactose Intolerant.
3 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now I'll have like the oat milk ice cream.
That's not ice cream.
No, it is. It's really good.
No.
Here's what's going to happen.
Dan,
look me in the eyes. Yes.
No.
Dan,
this is where he draws the line.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give him ice cream sometime. And he's going to eat it like, this is so good. And I'm going to be like, it's oat milk. And you're going to
throw it at your face.
Yeah, it's going to be a loss of trust for a few years.
I don't understand.
You got me to drink that almond stuff.
Oat milk. And oat milk is good. Oat milk is good, Dan.
Yeah, if you've not had anything to eat for 12 years, maybe.
Shh.
Holy smokes. What does this have to do with acceptable sins other than the sin of oat milk?
I want you to be grateful for...
I would rather have none.
All right, so Joe, anyways.
You'll have grown meat
moose
too, won't you?
Tracks, chocolate chip moose tracks, peanut butter chocolate, but I love the hard shell on top.
Hard shell.
Like a Dairy Queen when they dip it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Well, I was curious.
I'm a hard shell Baptist.
So we're talking about ingratitude today. It is a...
Which has nothing to do with ice cream, but it was fun.
I mean, you should be grateful for your ice cream if you get a chance to eat it.
We're
all grateful for the podcast. But Dan, why this one? Why ingratitude? Why is this a socially acceptable sin?
Because I do believe we live in the age of entitlement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so entitlement says, well, that's what I deserve.
Mm.
And as a result, we march right by all the blessings in our life without ever expressing gratitude. Mm. Also, you know, one of the things Romans chapter 1 talks about and other passages in the scripture, it's the sign of a collapsing culture.
Mm.
When we start losing our gratitude, it is a sign that something is fundamentally broken in the way we think. Hmm. And what it does is it feeds some of the previous socially acceptable sins that we've talked about, like pride, like you know,
selfishness
and materialism, envy and materialism and these things. So that's why I put it on my list of socially acceptable sins. When you were little, I know your mom did this because I probably was there, but if somebody gave your kid a sucker, or sometimes mom would literally intercept it and hold it until she looked you dead in the eyes and waited. And if you didn't catch the cue, she would then say, "What do you say?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the first step of toward gratitude that most parents did with their children. I've literally seen mom rip suckers out of kids' hands because they refused to say thank you and say, "Okay, I'm going to go keep this for you." So I think fundamentally we've lost some of that in our culture.
So let me stop right there. Where did that come from? Like, I agree with you. I think everyone listening to this would say, Dan, you're right. There is this entitled culture, but how did we get here? I guess maybe that's the question I'm thinking about.
Well, I mean, James 1:17, I think it is, says every good and perfect gift comes from Christ, comes from God. So to me, it stands to reason that the further we move ourselves from God, then the more we're going to be ungrateful. Because if they're, we don't have to be grateful to design. For design, because we don't believe there's a designer. We don't have to be grateful for gifts because we don't believe there's a giver. And so it's just such an empty, horrific way to live one's life. It almost is a karma-based thing, particularly like the Hindus of India. Well, I deserve what I got, you know, because of something I've done in the past or whatever. This is just what the universe has dealt me. And so there's no joy in gaining. There's no appreciation for giving. So you live this empty, flat life.
Yeah. So the more we remove ourselves as a culture away from God, the more we move into a place of entitlement of saying, well, someone has to be God, and I guess it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me what the Word of God says about ingratitude or ungratitude. And how it expresses itself.
Well, and I think a lot of these verses are interwoven. Psalms and Proverbs has a lot to say, again, with it. And it's very interesting to me because a lot of it is rooted in parenting. So you know, for instance, in Proverbs, it talks about an ungrateful generation that rise up against authority, rise up, and their teeth are like sharp knives. So it basically is saying in that passage that ingratitude can lead to violence.
Wow.
So we need to be really mindful that there's always permeated. Why was Israel judged in many cases? Because they were not grateful to the Lord. And grateful led to ungratefulness led to idolatry, and idolatry led to wickedness. And so we see cause and effect throughout the story of Israel. We see it in the New Testament reemphasized, that the posture, the consequence of seeing God where he should be in our lives is an attitude of gratitude. it is hopefully more than a cliche with us.
So what are the things when it comes to the Word of God that teaches us, how do we address the entitled heart? What are the things we've got to do?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to our last episode also. If you are not humble, if you think you deserve this, if you are prideful, then you're not going to be grateful. And again, I think we see this in some presidential candidates, where it's a lack of gratitude for soldiers. I mean, look at the words. We live today in freedoms purchased for us by the blood of people who are willing to die for their country. If that does not inspire gratitude in you, then there's a whole lot broken, not only in you, but the consequences of that across our culture. So you're going to be less likely to do something for others if the spirit in which it is received is of an entitlement rather than gratitude. And again, gratitude gratitude is a posture of the heart. And that's why I think it's such an important biblical value. Because when our posture toward God is correct, our posture toward others is correct. We won't be right with God if we're not right with others.
Yes.
So, and then also, we won't treat others, or we shouldn't, treat others better than we would treat God. Mm. So understanding the just a general worldview that emphasizes and appreciates gratitude as a value worthy of possession, then will cause us to benefit in multiple areas, ranging from civilization to human relationships to trusting each other. Mm. And so it's a really what I consider to be, you know, a not only a fundamental value, but a linchpin because it connects so many others.
Absolutely. I think when you're talking, this whole idea of if you don't understand the gospel and you don't understand God, the whole point of the gospel is what we deserve, right? Like the idea that we have sinned and what we deserve is punishment and condemnation and death. Like the Bible is very clear on that. And if you remove sin from a society and you remove authority from a society, like the ultimate authority of God, well, then there's no sin and there's no law breaking and there's no need for to even ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there's no need for grace. And the whole point of grace is unmerited favor, that the fact that God loves you enough that he sent his son to die for you. And if you think that you're like, well, who cares? God should love, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. It's this idea of you completely miss reality, the reality of your own sinfulness, your own brokenness, the reality of what you do deserve, and the entitlement of, oh, of course I deserve something great. Well, then you don't understand your sin. You don't understand the sin against a holy God. And the whole concept of grace is this reality of man, God has given to me not what I deserve. And to me, the gospel is a great reframer of this spirit, this heart that you talk about of ingratitude, because when you understand the abundance of what Christ has given to us through salvation, then you can, it just frames how we see everything. It frames how we receive everything.
Yeah. And grace and gratitude are so connected.
Yeah,
and that's really important because grace allows us to experience gratitude even in the worst of circumstances. Mm. And I think it's important for us to see this. Several years ago, John MacArthur stepped in it big time, who's one of my very favorite, you know, Bible expositors. Mm-hmm. But he said something that by the time it made it out into the airwaves or whatever, sounded like he was saying people of color should be grateful in America for slavery. Now,
He's not the only one who has made arguments.
That's like really bad.
Yeah. Here's what should have been said. And I think it's important for all of us that God's grace allows us to rise above sin.
Yes.
With gratitude.
Yes.
For the grace that comes from it.
Yes.
You know, my wife and I lost three babies. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you, I'm grateful we lost three babies.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is this. I'm grateful for God's grace, which allowed me to go through this horrific thing. And not only has allowed me to appreciate the gift of adoption or the gift of people who are able to carry pregnancy successfully to term, because just because it happened to me doesn't mean I shouldn't be happy for you.
Right.
And I understand, and I'm not trying to add pain to people who have experienced miscarriages and or can't bear children biologically, but it does not change your status one bit for you to be envious because your sister got pregnant or your brother has five kids or whatever. Right. It doesn't change your circumstances. But you know what I am grateful for? I am grateful because of God's grace on me and in my life in the midst of horrific disappointment that when somebody else is going through it, what Satan meant for evil, what brokenness of our world, then God can use for good.
Yeah. Wow.
And I can be a comfort to somebody. Mm-hmm. So looking for gratitude in difficult places, I think is really, really important. If I were a person of color, and I'm not trying to put myself in their position because I don't know what it's like. Mm-hmm. But I would say this, that the sin of slavery, horrific, but God's intervention in that sin can give hope and meaning to the sin of others. Yeah. That it's not just Satan's domain. Mm. That God's grace gives us victory over the worst things that happen to us.
Yeah.
So, and I want to be really careful in that, because you don't glorify
That's
the
right.
sin. You glorify the 100%.
Grace. You call out the sin. You call out the evil that was done, and you call out for justice for the evil that was done.
And that got really deep and dark for a moment, but I did that intentionally because of this. I think when we can grab the posture of gratitude as a part of a spiritual discipline, that it transforms how we live out our life.
Yeah, because
we focus on the grace, not the injustice.
Yeah, and I think that's so hard, Dan, because I promise you there are people listening to this that are in the middle of what you just talked about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're in the middle of wrestling with the anger towards God for— I think I spoke on this last Sunday with our sermon on Ruth, like, God, why didn't you stop this? You know, you're all powerful, and why didn't you stop this? And you're in the middle of the wrestling of, what do I do with this pain? What advice would you give to them? Because they can't even understand how to be grateful right now.
Very easy answer to this for me. Yeah. For me.
Yeah.
Is I have to make sure that I'm blaming the right entity.
Mm.
Right? That's God is not the author of my pain. God is not the author of sin.
That's right.
Satan is. Mm-hmm. Is God all powerful? Yes. Can he intervene at any time? Yes. Could he have prevented it? Yes. All of that. But I don't understand everything about God. I only understand what I know about God. And what I know about God is that he is my rescuer.
Mm.
He is my redeemer. And that this is not the work of God, but it is the work of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So my anger, I reserve for Satan. My gratitude, I reserve for God.
Yeah.
I am not grateful for anything Satan has put in my life.
Right.
I am grateful for God's grace that has allowed me to not be held hostage by Satan's agenda.
That's good.
And it takes some mental discipline, and it takes some, quite frankly, it takes some philosophical maneuvering to get to that point. And I'm not dismissing those who struggle with the notion of God's omniscience and omnipotence and the reality of sin. That's
right.
One of the great existential, metaphysical, philosophical battles that we all have to engage in. But at some point, you have to reach a conclusion in this, or you'll drive yourself mad. And for me, knowing there is a God, that he's good and that he is gracious, and having experienced that goodness and that graciousness in my life, then I need to assign blame where it rightfully belongs.
Yeah, that's good. Because I do think that there are people today that, and when you talk about being, there's a gratefulness that you can have. I just think that people have to keep inviting God into the healing process and into the pain so that they can, to be honest with what they're going through, so that, and to know that there, if I allow God to do his work in my life, there will be a day where I believe I will be able to be thankful for something, the good that God can do through that.
And this is why theologically I remain a proponent of free will, because we have, in my design, this choice, right? I can choose to love, or I can choose to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can choose to forgive, or I can choose to resent. And I can choose to be grateful or be ungrateful.
Right, right.
And so within that, God has allowed me the ability to navigate this.
Yeah.
And in the end, if I navigate it correctly, it glorifies
him. Yes, that's good. With a few remaining minutes we have left, what do you say to someone who's wrestling with that entitlement? They're not appreciating God and all the things that God's doing and the way he's working and what he's given to them. How do you help children? You know, you talked about moms teaching kids, but like, what are the things that we can do to combat this sin of ingratitude?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is simply thoughtfulness.
Hmm.
You know, that's why, who, I don't remember which president was. Wasn't Washington, was it, that first developed the idea of Thanksgiving?
I believe that Lincoln made it official.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Lincoln.
But one of the presidents, and I read the writings years ago on it, but basically what he wanted to do was to force us to pause and consider with a bent toward gratitude. Now, again, that starts with the basics. And it's simply like taking the sucker and holding it until the kid says, it is a mental discipline.
Yeah.
It is a mental discipline to say, I'm not entitled to this. And that I should be grateful for it. Now, again, there is a contradicting worldview that says you deserve what you get, good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whether you talk karma or Hinduism or whatever. But a biblical worldview says all good things come from God.
That's right.
Every good and perfect gift comes from God.
Yeah.
So the level of gratitude that we are experiencing in life and that we are sharing with others is a reflection of our worldview and how we view God.
Mm.
And therefore, this comes to what Scripture talks about, bringing every thought into captivity.
Yeah.
And so when I start feeling entitled, when I start feeling like I deserve better than this or whatever, I have to go. Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, if you'll study that really carefully, and we don't have time to go through it, will help you develop this, because when you see yourself as totally dependent upon God, unable to save yourself, and totally depraved, but then you see what God has already done for you and promised for you, I don't see how you can have any other kind of response than gratitude submission and yielding. But the parts of those verses is know, reckon, and yield.
Yeah.
And so you've got to understand who God is first. If you don't know God, it's not going to happen. Then you've got to consider it, reckon, that's think, and then you yield. Then you submit that attitude, you submit that entitlement, you submit that action to the Lord. And so when you see those three verses in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, it's a pathway forward, and it leads to gratitude.
That's good. That's awesome.
History lesson. You were both right. President George Washington was the first person to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Ironically, Thomas Jefferson then didn't. He refused. He felt like it was too religious because it was too connected to the Puritans.
Yes.
But then ultimately, Lincoln was the one who made it official. But there was this woman like petitioned like the four presidents before him too. So there was like a process here.
Interesting.
So you're both right.
Well, very interesting, too.
That's pretty awesome.
The historical context.
That's great. Listen, the ingratitude is one of those things that we need to be aware of. And all of us, if we were fully aware of all that God is doing and has done in our lives, we could spend all day thanking him. And that's one of the things we want you to have, that perspective of God as a good father giving his children good gifts. Let's be people that are able to recognize it in our lives and let it change our hearts from the inside out. So great conversation. Thank you, Dan, for sharing that with us. Thank you again for joining us on Life Talks. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.